إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Beloved Muslims, dear brothers and sisters, Rasulullah Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most eloquent person. He has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by جوامع الكلم. Is one of the features of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which are the words, the concise and the brief words that contain a lot of meaning, words from which the Muslim scholars derive maxims and derive many rules and regulations of Islam. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most eloquent person. However, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to admonish people, he was brief, and his reminders were short. Yet, with this type of short and brief reminders, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was successful to build a nation, to build a unique nation that is not unique in every aspect, in its mission, which was for the greater good of all humanity, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You are indeed the best nation that was sent forth for the goodness of mankind. So, part of the mission of the nation that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised was to care for the good will and the good and the well-being of all humanity. Dear brothers and sisters, it's worth pondering over the reasons of this success, the success of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ponder over this powerful and effective style of his in building people and building a nation, as I said, that was unique in the history of humanity. If we really ponder over that success, we find that it was due to two reasons. The first reason, or the first factor, has to do with the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a strong transmission on his part. And the second factor has to do with the audience, with the first generation of Muslims, with the generation of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was a very good reception on their part. With this combination, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established an ummah. This have a closer look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam character and his qualities that really helped them in delivering this strong and effective and powerful message. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first of all, was sincere, mukhlis lillah azza wa jalla. And there is no one who can question the sincerity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had genuine intention and concern for the well-being of all humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. There has come unto you a messenger from amongst you, heavily weighs upon him the thought that you may suffer, full of concern towards you, full of mercy and compassion toward the believers. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to grieve for the rejection of some people to his call, to his message, which was the message of the truth. So number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sincere. And number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed the correct knowledge. Because whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he never said it out of his whims or desires. Rather, it was a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, the revelation is of two forms. Number one, the form that came to him in the Quran, and the second one is in his sunnah and teaching, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not say anything out of his own desire, rather it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important issue, the issue that he possessed the correct knowledge. Because the correct knowledge is like the correct medicine. And when it comes to medicine, the criterion that govern a medicine is number one, that it should be the right medicine that is suitable for that specific disease, number one. And number two, it should be given in the right dosage. And number three, it must be given in the right timing. So these three things constitute the criterion of a medicine. The medicine is not measured by the amount. So it is not that the more of the medicine you take, the better it is. Rather, if number one, you have to have the right medicine for the specific disease. If you have a different medicine, even though it may be a correct medicine, but it's not suitable for the specific disease from which a person is suffering, it will not benefit the person. And it must be given in the right dosage. So sometimes little more of that medicine or little less than from that medicine may harm the person that rather than benefit him. And thirdly, the medicine should be given in the right manner. Sometimes it's before eating, sometimes it's after eating, sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening. So one should follow the specific instructions of that prescribed medicine in order for the person to attain the benefit, and in this case it is the cure. So the correct knowledge is like that correct medicine. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to treat people in the correct manner. He used to give them the proper dose in the proper time, and therefore his style in training and teaching was very effective and very powerful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalt his status in his sight. Wa sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is the second, number two, quality that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed that helped him reforming and changing people and leaving an impact on the life of people. Thirdly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was clear, plain. Whenever you hear him, you understand him. He used to speak in a very deliberate manner, and some of the people who heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you are to count his letters, you will be able to count the letters of the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam utters. Sometimes he used to repeat whatever he said three times so that people may understand and comprehend and be able to practice whatever they understood and comprehend. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dedicated for his mission. He has dedicated all his life, as a matter of fact, all his being for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the fulfillment of the mission with which he was entrusted. So he was not a part-time Muslim or a part-time caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never hesitated in giving up anything for the sake of his da'wah and for the sake of the call of Islam. These are part of the qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed that helped him deliver this powerful message that changed the life of the people. However, we have not to forget the other part of this change, and that is the recipients, that is the audience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the first generation of Muslims, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, also on their part, they had a very good reception. So you have good and strong transmission countered by strong and powerful reception, and this is the recipe that made that change. So because no matter how correct the medicine is, no matter how precise the dosage that you deliver is, if the ill person refuses to open his mouth and take that medicine, then the benefit will not be there, and the person cannot be cured, and the treatment will fail. And therefore, it's very important to look on the other part of the equation, that is the audience and the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. So from all the humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His knowledge selected these people because He knew that they were ready to receive the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and be the saviors of the world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion, they possessed many good qualities, but two main qualities that really qualified them for the change that they were able to make in the life of all humanity. Dear brothers and sisters, it's unbelievable if you think about it. In a span of 30 years, the Muslims were able to reach China in the east and France in the west. 30 years, changing the face of this earth, and the events of the history of humanity. Number one quality is that they were sincere seeker of the truth and the knowledge that benefit them. So if you have a window to peek at the society of the companions radiallahu anhum, you will find that their discussions, their questions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every affair of their life revolve around one thing, that is how they can be saved in the hereafter. How can they serve the purpose of their life? Anything they asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned them one time about a Dajjal and told them that this is a huge, an enormous trial that they are going to witness close to the last hour. The first question that comes in their mind is, how are we going to pray during that time? He told them that the time will change. There will be interruption in the time that you know, and a day will be as long as a month, and sometimes a year will be shorter, and so on and so forth. And the first question that comes to their mind is, how are we going to pray if the day is longer? Should we estimate? What should we do? So this is, and this you will find in many of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One time they were competing, the poor among them and the rich among them. The poor came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained about what? Lack of provision or lack of meat on their tables in the supper. They were saying to the Prophet, complaining that, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rich among us has taken all the reward because they do the same acts of worship that we do, yet they have surplus money from which they can spend for the sake of Allah, and therefore have a better reward and higher rank in the hereafter. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them different ways that can be considered acts of charity, like saying subhanallah, like saying alhamdulillah, like helping a person. So this was the arena of race during the time of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. So number one quality, that they were sincere in seeking the knowledge and seeking what benefits them in the hereafter. And number two, they never sought the knowledge to have the luxury of possessing the knowledge. Rather, they possess the knowledge in order to practice this knowledge. So they learn to immediately fulfill the commands of Allah and fulfill the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not that that they saw the knowledge so that they will be known as scholars or knowledgeable people. So it was knowledge for the sake of practice, not knowledge for the sake of knowledge. And knowledge for the sake of practice is what fulfills the purpose of this life. Because the purpose of this life is وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create men and jinn but to worship me. And this worship can only be done by not only knowledge, rather practicing this knowledge. We seek knowledge not for the sake of knowledge, rather for the sake of practicing this knowledge and therefore fulfilling the obligation of our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of these two qualities, dear brothers and sisters, one command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sufficient to change their style of life. Their way of life can be changed in one command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a big step for someone to give up liquor, but it took one command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a whole community that the life of which was revolving around liquor. The Arab before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was focused on three things: liquor, women, and tribal fights. That's it. This is their life. And it took one command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change this habit. One command, and we have some reports that describe that some of the companions were holding the goblets of liquor close to their mouth, and when they heard that the liquor was prohibited, they threw the goblet. It did not take more than that. They did not wait in order to verify the news, or said, okay, one more sip and that's it. So they took the matter seriously. They understood that they were servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their obligation is to fulfill the command of their master Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One command was enough to change the lifestyle of the women during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When that command came down that the women of the Muslims should cover and should wear the Islamic attire, they all abided by this command. And you could not see but the faces of those female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were covered. They did not go around it. They did not twist it. They did not question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not customize it so it can fit the tradition of the pagan society, as we are doing right now. We are seeing a new style of hijab, Islamic dress, that is not known to Islamic fiqh or Islamic standards at all. And it defeats, yani we have a sister by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are not trying to show their Islamic identity. But when it comes to the requirements of that dress, we find a dress that is alien to our culture as Muslims. An Islamic attire that was designed in order to to please the society in which we live, not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we need to look back. We need to look back and examine the ingredients of success in the life of the earlier generation, so that we may get out of the humility in which we live nowadays as a Muslim nation. أَقُولُ قُبْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى سَيِّدِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَإِمَامِ الْمُتَّقِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to give you a model reminder from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talked about his time. We talked about the brevity of his reminders and his admonition, and how concise but effective and powerful his style was. And I would like to give you a model of this reminder. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Imam Ahmad recorded, and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Izni wa awjiz, O Messenger of Allah, remind me, but be brief." It seems the person does not have much time, and he came in a hurry to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants some of the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he wants something that is brief so that he can understand it and act upon it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said three sentences, that's it. He said, إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فصلي صلاة مودع. Whenever you stand to pray, pray as if this is your last prayer. The second sentence, وَلَا تَكَلَّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. Do not say a word for which you may apologize later on. The third sentence, وَاجْمَعْ الْيَأْسَ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. And have a total despair of whatever within the possession of other people. Now the purpose of the first reminder is to perfect the person's prayer. And the purpose of the second reminder is to guard the tongue of that person. And the purpose of the third reminder is to have total attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah alone. And if one hear these words from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and act upon them, they without a doubt lead the person to prosperity in this life and the hereafter. And there are three sentences, so the matter is not in really the amount and the number of the words, rather their significance comes from the knowledge that they contain, from the meaning that they have. And there is no one who is a better advisor than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first sentence, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَصَلِّي صَلَاةً مُوَدِّعًا. The purpose of it is the perfection of the prayer. And if the person perfected his prayer, this leads him to have a better behavior in this life and a higher rank in the hereafter. Better behavior because prayer refines the character of the believer. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Indeed, prayer forbids the person from indecencies and evil. So, basically, it refines the character of the person. And secondly, it grants him a higher status in the hereafter, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna awwal ma yus'alu anhu al-'abdu yawm al-qiyamati as-salah, fa in salahat salaha sa'iru 'amali." That the first thing about which the person is going to be questioned on the day of resurrection is his prayer. If it is found in order, then the rest of his deed will be found in order. So it helps the person's complete, it correct and reform the person's complete life and make him a better Muslim in this life, a person who deserves to have high ranks in the hereafter. Now, what has perfecting the prayer to do with the specific advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the person to pray as if this is his last prayer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically has given that person the tool that would enable him to perfect his his prayer and therefore gain all the reward that comes as a result of perfecting the prayer. Because if the person prays as if this is his last prayer, the person will be more attentive in his prayer. The person will be praying in a status of a person departing from this life, getting ready to whatever awaits him in the grave and on the day of resurrection, having in mind whatever terrifying scenes there are in the hellfire, whatever varieties of pleasures that await them in paradise. So when the person pray in this status, he would never leave anything that would perfect his prayer but to do it. He will do it in Maqam al-Ihsan. Maqam al-Ihsan is when one worship Allah as though he is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one sentence from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second sentence is, don't say any word for which you may apologize later. Which means guard your time. Don't speak anything without thinking, without weighing the consequences of what you are going to say. Because whatever we are liable for, whatever we say, and we are between two choices, either to control our tongues or be controlled by our tongues. And the matter is not easy and light. Rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the leading cause for people to enter the hellfire is the harvest of their tongue. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. A word may cut off the relationship between two close brothers. A word may destroy a marital life. A word may stir a fitna in a community and divide a community. One word. And therefore, guarding this is a shield against the hellfire. See, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a tool to perfect his prayer and warned him against something that may lead him to the hellfire. He basically gave him a tool to shield him from the hellfire. Just before you think, before you say something, think. And finally, he told him, have total despair concerning anything that is within the possession of others. Meaning, don't attach your heart to the wealth of others, to the possessions of others, to whatever others have. Rather, have all your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connect your heart with Allah. Attach your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the person trains himself to attach himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all matters concerning all affairs, the worldly affairs and the affairs that relate to the hereafter, the person attains success in this life and the life to come. إذا سألت فاسأل الله. If you ask, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. If you seek help, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that if the whole world gather together in order to harm you, they will not be able to harm you except by something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed. And if they gather together in order to benefit you, they will never benefit you with something except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed. So have your heart attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't attach your heart with the wealth and possessions of people. Go to the source. Go to the source. Because these people who enjoy richness and wealth in this life, they got it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of you connecting your heart with it, connect your heart with its creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how concise the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and how beneficial and powerful and effective it is. And this is the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will find a treasure in every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have to be treasure hunters and seek that knowledge and learn the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and learn them not for the luxury of knowledge, rather in order to practice it and in order to fulfill the purpose of our life, that is worshipping Allah alone.